I started as a technician in Washington State and working for NRCS. I didn't ever dream that I would ever play with models when I got older, but we seem to need models because we ask hard questions about what we do in resource conservation. And so my charge in the last year has been to come up with strategy and implementing, getting this model out and ready for our field offices. So I just want to go over a little bit of history, talk to you a little bit about what goes into all, what's gone into that. And I think we've reviewed, Ed reviewed kind of where we've been, but I want to tell you a story about when I first started as a conservationist in Othello, Washington. We were using these tables, you know, that big thick thing that kind of described what we do. And I sat down and did a six-year rotation with potatoes, wheat, and alfalfa using these tables here. And it took me 4 hours to do a calculation. And that's where you multiply all the factors across the line, and then you've got three pages of lines that you add up horizontally. You know, you add them down. And it just didn't make any sense to me that in the day and age where we had some computers, and Dave Lytle and I had a little exchange a couple of weeks before in Oregon, and I had asked him about the soil condition index, and I was feeling my oats because they gave me a laptop, and that was kind of a dangerous thing to do at that time. So I said, you know, I asked him, I said, you know of anybody that's got these tables in a computerized fashion, you can look them up. And I was talking about the E-tables within the WQ program. And he said, well, there's this guy called Tom Keeb that he had done some work there in Lincoln. And so Dave, that was about the time we were getting email or being able to mail things back and forth. It was about, what was it, Dave, like 92 or something? 97, it was that late. And so he sent me half of the equation, the back half of the equation on lookups. And I ran the front half into a version that we're using with some columns here, kind of like what we have for inputs even in WEPs today. We've got the date when we do something and the crop file that we're going to use in the operations. Not that much different than what we're using now, but what happens after that is quite different. But it's a good stopgap for us, and it was something that with those other models that Ed talked about, never caught on. I don't know why this one did, sort of. Each state kind of still does their own thing in some ways. So it's maybe not quite as good as a universal application, but it seemed to have weaved its way on into the National Agronomy Manual and got pretty wide use. And it's not too hard to use and had some pretty nice things that made this thing old and ugly and hard to use. So. Looking at WQ, we've had a little overview of that, but we've used that since 1985, our agency has. And it was either two versions that we were using. It was either a management period method, which you had two-week periods or periods where you're not doing anything that would lap for a long period of time. That would be the period method, and those periods would be added up and then divided by the year to give you an average annual. Some places, because of the problems we had with C factor and the I factors seemed to be really, really difficult to deal with. In fact, everything east of the Mississippi, we couldn't get very, very little erosion would be calculated with either method. This critical period, you would take the low point of the year, the smallest amount of SGE, the smallest amount of vegetative cover, you'd project that over the whole year. Well, that didn't make very much sense to me at all. But we're currently still using both methods in some form in each state. Well, the model doesn't work in many of those areas where we know we do have problems. So it is critical that we go ahead and work on something different. Some of the states have their own version that's not very consistent across programs and across, you know, we use some of our tools to implement the farm bill programs, and it's not good when our tools are not really consistent across the county and state lines. So we think that's pretty important to work on that. Well, you don't have to go very far, and we saw some pictures to see we still have some problems. This was taken in Panhandle of Texas just this spring. Some blow, spring times are tough year, times for our blows. So the improvements in WEPs that we see, the advantages for us to take over and implement this model would be that it works in all the states. It's somewhat easier to use. The additional outputs that we get for saltation, creep, and suspension, plus PM10 are really important. PM10 is an issue that, it's a health issue that we're having to deal with. We're not sure quite what to do with it. We always like to set limits on stuff that we, bad things that can happen on the land. We always like to have, we like to set limits for things like that and do what we can to keep it from exceeding those limits. PM10 is the one we're going to have to deal with in the future. I'll get to that a little bit later, but I'm learning a lot about process-based models, and I didn't know very much about them before I started on this, working with the Weirwood Group in Manhattan. I'm learning this hard in some cases to get a process-based model to predict what we really know is happening on the land. Part of the problem is the crop doesn't grow right in Epic. Epic sometimes doesn't produce a crop like we expect it to. Sometimes it's hard to control the yields when we know we're getting 150 bushel corn out there and it only produces 100. That really has a severe effect on the wind erosion that happens on that field. It doesn't give you a true picture. So we've had to put in a calibration routine that would back calculate to raise the residue up to the limit of the to the yield. So it's not always a real easy process for maybe for the researchers and for us both. When we know, me coming from the field for 20 years, I've seen the fields. I know when they're blowing, and I know about what it looks like to cause that. And when the model's way out of whack, and we know it's something different there, it's, we have to do something about that. And that's what Ed, the last thing that Ed said was that we're doing a lot of changes. And in this beta test version for the last 2 years, we have made a lot of changes in this model as we're accepting it. And Will was handing that off to Larry Clark 2 years ago. And we're going to have kind of another handoff, I think, in December when we finally get through this beta testing version. But there's been a lot of changes that have happened over this time. It's just a lot of things have happened. So another thing I like about this model is we get a better reports. Ed showed you a little bit of the detailed report, but the first thing that comes up is a summary report. And Gary Tipke, who had my job before this, had three separate reports for this. And I told Larry Wagner, Dr. Wagner, I said, you know, really what we need we can probably get in a really short space. And I said, we're really kind of concerned about what we have for total erosion, the saltation, creep, and suspension, and PM10. Those are great things to have up front on a report, and we like that. Okay, and then we really need to know something about the yield to know whether or not we need to recalibrate the model or rerun it, or how much residue it's producing. So on this one report here, we get a nice idea of what's happening out there. And also just below that, and sometimes this gets to be longer, I realize this is just a 1 year crop, but I really like the fact that we can put all this in one place now on a simple output. The model has tons and tons of information coming out of it, and that's good, but our field offices don't necessarily want all of that, right, Kerry? They don't necessarily need to know all of that. So what we try to do is, you know, we're going to try to keep the model pretty simple so that everybody can run it and work with it. And so that's kind of been our goal. It's been tested now in 26 management zones by over 30 of our staff members. So that's a pretty good test of the beta version. This picture here was in New York. You wouldn't think that'd be in New York, but it is. And that's one of the areas that we couldn't predict erosion off of before. And that was just last year's, year ago's pictures, I think. Many areas of the eastern region, so they'll see calculated erosion from wind for the first time when we adopt this model. databases. Oh boy, where do I start with databases? The two main databases that Dave and I have been working on, Dave's been managing our Russell databases for years, so he's got a good start on what we need to bring over, but not everything is in there. And some things are managed differently there, so there's a tremendous amount of work to be done. We are making common interlinks to both of those where the databases are common. And so it's a painstaking thing right now because we kind of have to identify and build the records that they link to in order to get these databases to work together. But we have the operations and crops databases. I don't know, I'd say they're probably 80% of where they need to be there. We're still working on some more to work on. But then when we get all those databases in place, then we'll take our Russell databases, which we have managements with, where we have dates and crops and operations that all come together in a rotation. We have 23,000 of those across the United States that we can run through a translation or a conversion process to bring those into WEP. So we'll instantly have a database that anybody can use that's common in both models, at least the day we convert them. You know, stuff happens after that, and if we don't have a model that's using the same LAN or someplace where we have one database stored, then Dave and I have a challenge to get that, to keep that the same in every field office, and we'll gladly pass that on down to our state and our area agronomists to help us maintain those, to keep those consistent in the field offices, so we all run kind of the same stuff, but still able to build and save their own local databases in those. So we're going to convert those. I think we're going to be doing that probably in December, if everything rolls along right. We think version one's ready. They're pretty close. I talked to Dr. Wagner, and I told him, I said, we need to have a CCE compliant build by December 1st, and there was kind of silence on the other end of the phone for a minute until he got his breath back. And I said, and Dr. Blackburn, the last two meetings we've had, when we've talked to WIRA group, he asked us, are you really going to implement this model? And I said, well, yes. We've been 16 years working on this thing. We're going to implement the model. It's better than we've been using, and it'll be much better when we get it out. So we plan to conduct three train-the-trainer sessions after the first of the year. One will be in Fort Worth, one will be in probably Portland, and the other one be in Greensboro, we think, for the three areas. State staff will then install the model. And I don't know whether it'll be state staff or whether we'll actually be able to, I think we might be able to have a projection thing where we send it out and install it on everybody's computer all at once. We hope we can do that. And then we'll be assisting the state staff that we've trained in the train-the-trainer sessions to train their staff March through December. So that's the plan, is to roll that out on that timeline. And the states will be up to their own scheduling and what their budgets allow for them to get this implemented in the next year. I think Norm has given us till, I think in the policy, we're still looking for the first of 09 for full implementation for our field offices to be using this there. Let's see. This is the second half that you asked me about, Scott, to talk about the future a little bit. Now, the future is a little hard for me because I don't know what's possible, because I'm coming from a little bit of limited knowledge of what's possible. But I wrote some things down, and I think Dennis has talked a little bit about common shared databases and the models, and having a combined model where we're using the same climate, the same crop, and the same management. I think that's fully possible, and I think it's when we get there, then somebody's lives are going to be much easier, because we only got one set of data to manage, and I think much, much easier. I know the calculation speeds need to stay up, and it's taken us a long time to get the speed up on the model. When we first started working with that 2 years ago, if I were to do that same hand calculation that I said took me 4 hours, it would take me 20 minutes the way the model was running to run that same calculation, not even in a calibration mode, it would take the computer that long to run that when we first started working with WEPS. That same rotation today takes 30 seconds or less to run. So we've made, you know, ARS has made great improvements on the speed on it, but when we start adding this, if we're doing multiple zones or cells across the field, it sounds to me like you're going to be multiplying that calculations across there. So whatever we do from the ARS side, if we keep the speed in mind, ease and speed, you're going to hear that from us all the time, ease and speed. Sometimes we're not really concerned about all the details or all of the outputs that are totally accurate, as it is easy to use and fast and makes sense to our constituents that we have to talk to producers about. All models, you know, and this second one here on GIS, I don't know a lot about GIS, but it would kind of be nice to take our limited wind data and climate data and be able to put that pin down in the middle of a field that we've got on the computer screen and have three, if it's between three stations, have that data averaged together and have a, I don't know, some sort of a averaged data between the three, so we have a smooth transition between our data points. We have such few data points on our climate, it makes it very hard, for example, at Big Spring compared to the town just to the west of that, I forget, but they're only about 30 miles apart, and if you calculate a continuous cotton rotation on the one town there, you have 7 ton soil loss, and you move over to Big Spring, so we have 28 ton in a period of 30 miles with just a climatic change, just a wind change, station change. Well, someplace right now, we're going to have to lay a line across there and say, well, here you use this station here, and here you use this station over here. That's not so handy when we're trying to defend the model. So maybe something about having something that would give us the GIS front end that would average these the limited amount of climatic data that we have to run the model. My example of this would be that if, you know, our soils maps are digitized now, and we have our DSR maps that are digitized also. We have a lot of pretty good photography, good computers in the field. Most of our planning is made by coming up with a map first, and if you wanted to know what the climate data was here for to run a model, you'd plunk the point down, or the point's already located in our toolkit software. There's no reason why we couldn't have that data come in like that. Additions, right now we're hoping that sometime now we can get the programming in there for the soil condition index. That would keep us from having to run the model where we have no water erosion. Right now, in order to get a soil condition index, we still have to run Russell in order to get a condition index, which is duplicate, poking in the data again into the second model. So I think Dr. Wagner is going to get that accomplished, hopefully before we get through the implementation period. He said he would, and I'm sure we'll get there eventually. All tools hang on other tools. That's kind of an idea that this combined idea that as many things as we can list here that we want to run as far as a inventory tool. When we do conservation planning, we would like to do a complete job of inventory, see what we've got, put some alternatives together based on that, and it'd be great to only add that junk in there one time in one interface. And then punch whatever button we want to come out with, whatever numbers we want to look at. I should talk a little bit about web. We are big on, I guess, web tools, and being able to run the thing up on the web rather than downloading it. I'm kind of learning a little bit about thin users and fat users, and some folks are saying we're going to be a thin users soon enough. I thought we started out that way with our old AT&T equipment. Our 3B2s were kind of that way. Seems like longer you live, the more things kind of run circles on you. They come back. So we'll be back to what we started with, our 3B2s, pretty quick. But the idea of having it web-based, then we don't have to worry about making sure everybody else has access to our databases that are outside the agency. We have a lot of TSP users. We have a lot of Dave and I get calls a lot on users outside the agency who have no idea how to get to our data. And we spend a fair amount of time dealing with. In fact, I spent more time in New Mexico working with the outside users than I did inside users to our evaluation tools. So internet access to growers might even be possible someday. If we could get, they wouldn't be able to do a lot of the editing, but they could put the three things together that makes the model work. They could put in the size of their fields, pull up the soils, pull up a management, punch the button and get an answer. Futures again, number eight. We need to improve the climate data. I mentioned a little bit about that. I don't know what to do about data, climate data, when you need 30 years of record and you don't have any. I'd be really interested in talking to one of you guys that know what we can do about fixing things that we don't have data for. When we're 300 miles apart on our wind erosion data or the wind speed data, I don't know, but some form of smoothing or averaging, kind of like I talked about earlier, would be very, very helpful. I don't know what we can do about that. It's all going to take money. I'm told the ARS doesn't have climatology possibility folks to work on that stuff. I don't know if that's true or not. We have some on our side, but they're kind of overworked, and we really haven't made the connection. This first version coming out is going to still have things about the way they are, where we won't have that in it. So that's another thing in the future. Air quality, it's in the news all the time. Maybe a tillage dust emissions for the, I know in California, they're using, their local air quality districts are issuing permits for growers to only make so many passes with a piece of equipment, and that's regulated. Maybe a little better handle on what's emitted out of the from each tillage pass. I don't know, but those are some of my thoughts on that. Did okay on time. Any questions you folks have? Yes, sir. It's not in the model. I wish you'd talk with, maybe we need to have you talk to Dr. Wagner or whatever. There are ways, I understand there are ways, but I don't know how to do them. And I'm, agronomist is not necessarily a good climatologist. So it would be better if someone could work with us on that. But maybe we can do that without too much work. That would be great. Dennis. That's been a problem. It's been a problem with Russell, and it's definitely a problem for us right now. What we're doing right now in the West is creating, I didn't have that in here, but we're creating a map with polygons around these stations so that we're taking into account this topography effect and elevation, any channeling that you get with the wind. Some of the things you can see from a shaded relief map, we've drawn some polygons consistent with where we think just logically we would make a call or a split. And it's not necessarily halfway between the points, but it's just going to be a polygon around there. And they said, the West said they wouldn't, would not implement the model without having those done. And so, in fact, Dave and I just looked at the first set of map data coming back from Dwayne, our new guy that's doing our GIS for us, and he's gonna do a good job of making up some maps for us to use, but I know that's not the right answer to do that way. Dave?
I just want to comment, we are going to be using the rock climb.
Yes. Yeah. We'll be moving some of the climate stations.